We thank you for the wonderful privilege which is ours to hear from you again. Bless us. Make your word plain. Help us to see that you are God. There is none like you. Bless us and save us in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our message for this afternoon, The Case for Divinity. The Case for Divinity. The most widely read book of all time has now been made into a movie. The Da Vinci Code. When the author, Dan Brown, who says he is a Christian, said these words, "The more I learn, the more questions I have," I knew that we were in for a roller coaster ride with the facts. The synopsis of the book, The Da Vinci Code, a book of fiction, is this. Robert Langdon, a Harvard symbologist, is summoned to the Louvre Museum in Paris, France, to examine a series of cryptic symbols relating to Da Vinci's artwork. And in decrypting the code, Langdon uncovers, according to this fiction, he uncovers the key to one of the greatest mysteries of all time. And because he uncovers this, he becomes a hunted man. And even though the author Dan Brown says that the plot is fictional, these words are troubling to me. For Dan Brown believes that what he writes or the accounts of Jesus' identity in this book is true. Key premise of the book is that there's a conspiracy about the true Jesus, and that there's been a reinventing of Jesus throughout history. And you might already know that in the book, it says that Jesus was secretly married to Mary Magdalene. Now, I'm not going to spend time on that. I'm going to spend time today on the other problem in the book. I need another sermon by itself to handle Jesus being married to Mary Magdalene. But the other problem in the book is that the author says that Jesus was not divine, that he was just a man. Interesting half-truths. It's true that Jesus was a man. Amen? But he was not just man. He was both man and God. Now, don't ask me to explain that. That's another sermon. But he was. And according to the Da Vinci Code, the book, the divinity of Jesus was voted on by Constantine. Brown says this, "Nobody is saying that Christ was a fraud or denying that he walked the earth and inspired millions to better their lives. All we're saying is that Constantine took advantage of Christ's substantial influence and importance. And in doing so, he shaped the face of Christianity as we know it today." The author goes on to say that at the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D., that there were many aspects of Christianity that were debated upon. Not only that, they were voted upon, including the divinity of Jesus. The author says that until that moment at the Council of Nicaea, Jesus was viewed by his followers as a good prophet. a great and powerful man, but a man nevertheless. We don't believe that. Can you say amen? And in the book, there's a dialogue between two individuals, and it goes like this. Not the Son of God. Hold on, you're saying that Jesus' divinity was the result of a vote? Yes, a relatively close vote at that. According to Brown, why would Jesus be elevated to divinity at the Council of Nicaea? Brown says it was all about power. Christ as the Messiah was critical to the function of church and state. The early church, Brown says, literally stole Jesus from his original followers, hijacking his human message, shrouding it in an impenetrable cloak of divinity, using it to expand power. Now, I want you to stay with me now. If you're asleep, wake up. You don't want to miss this. He draws a lot of these conclusions from the 52 other writings that have been eliminated from the Bible. The Gnostics, the secret knowers, were the writers of many books, and they put the tag gospel on many of them. The Gnostics believed that they had a secret, a special knowledge that was hidden from ordinary people. And I ought to clue you in right there that something's messed up. Anything that's hidden from the ordinary people is not about the gospel. Can you say amen? Brown suggests that the motive for banning these writings was a desire to suppress women in the church. But the very Gnostic gospel themselves are writings that suppress women in the church. Listen to this. This is from the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. This is supposedly a quote by Peter. Let Mary go away from us because women are not worthy of life. Did you hear that? That is from the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. Any of you women want to embrace that? Would you like that to be in your Bible? Not only that, it says this. Then Jesus, allegedly, tells Peter that he will make Mary into a male so that she may enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a direct quote. Sounds like the Gnostic Gospels are putting down women. And, of course, the invented account that Jesus was secretly married to Mary Magdalene. I'm going to talk about that. I just don't have time in this sermon. I have to pick another sermon down the line when I can talk about it. There's a whole theology behind that. And that she fled to Jerusalem following the crucifixion of Jesus. And she was carrying his child. So Jesus' descendants married into French royalty. And out of that, there was a group that protected this secret. A society of the most famous people in history, including Leonardo da Vinci. And so that's where we get the name Da Vinci Code. He is supposedly hidden at in his art. Famous people like Sir Isaac Newton, they all kept this a secret. But today I'd like to deal with the problem or the case I'd like to make for the divinity of Jesus. Jesus was God. Can you say amen? What does the scripture say about the divinity of Jesus? I need you to turn to Luke, the fourth chapter, and verses 33 and 34. I want someone to read that. Whoever finds that, you can either stand or sit where you are and read that. Luke chapter 4 and verse 33 and 34. I'm going to come down. And do we have a mic back? Should I grab one of these and then we'll... Okay. Dale, you want to help me? Okay. Those who have it, just lift your hand and Dale will pass you the mic. Want to read that, okay? Luke 4, 33 and 34.
Now in the synagogue, where am I? There was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
Did you hear that? The demons call Jesus the Holy One of God. Demons know who they are. God doesn't know, but demons know. The Holy One of God. Let's go to Mark 15, 39. Someone you find that, raise your hand, and Dale will bring you the mic. Mark 15, 39. Let's see who else knows who Jesus is. Mark 15, 39. If has that, raise your hand. If you don't hurry up and raise the... Okay, it's Harold raising his hand. Okay. Well, Stella has it, okay.
By the way, Pastor, the pitch is up too high on your voice.
Maybe you can adjust the pitch. All right, thank you. Now talk a little softer.
Mark 15:39. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out, and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
Who was he? The Son of God. The Roman commander knew exactly who Jesus is. The Son of God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. You see how the angels... Okay, right here, right in front of you, Dale, right? 132.
He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.
Amen. The Son of the Highest. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 1, 21 and 22. Lift your hands. We'll bring that to you. Anyone in the back? Okay.
Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet.
Read on. Read just another one for me.
Saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us."
Who with us?
God.
Who with us?
God.
Who with us?
God
with us. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, one of the most powerful passages in the Scripture. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Most of you know that without even looking it up.
Okay. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved.
Ooh, doesn't sound like an ordinary man to me. Hebrews 4:14. What does Apostle Paul have to say? Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4:14. I know you're getting a Bible workout today. I tell you, sometimes you got to bring your Bibles. Don't leave your Bibles home.
Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Jesus who? The Son of God. One of the things that people who want to deny the Lordship of Jesus, that He's God, they will always stay away from the book of John. You can know that. John starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In John 1:14, and the Word became what, everybody? Flesh and dwelt among us. They stay away from that book of John. That book of John is just loaded with passages talking about Jesus as God. John chapter 20 and verse 31. John chapter 20 and verse 31. You got that, Bob? Read that for me.
But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name.
Amen. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 1, verses 29 and 34. John chapter 1, verses 29 and 34. Move toward the back, Dale, so we can get some of the people back here so they won't sleep on me. All right? Okay, all right here. 29 and 34, okay? This who? The Son of God. Very plain, very clear. Matthew 3:17. What does the Father have to say? Matthew 3:17.
And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with Him I am well pleased."
Amen. What did the Father say? He was well pleased. "This is my Son, the Son of God, and I am well pleased." Thank you, Dale. Thank you. Appreciate you carrying that around for me. I'm going to come back up here. And yes, it did. And I'm going to conclude. The Bible is clear as to who Jesus is. In fact, Jesus Himself is clear as to who He is. John 8:23, "You are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of the world, and I am not of this world." John 17:5, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." At the cross, someone asked Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." They asked that because they knew that that had already gone around about Him. They knew what His title was, that He was the Son of God. John 14:9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." John 9:38, "The blind beggar worshipped Jesus." John 20 and verse 28, Thomas, after noticing the nail prints and in Jesus' hand says, my Lord and my God. Scriptures is pretty clear. Wouldn't you say that? On who Jesus is. I just took a few. I didn't take them all. But I'd like to ask a question as we conclude our service. What is your testimony? The fact that Jesus is divine, that he is God, and the scriptures say so, what does that mean to you? I want some answers from some of you. Does that matter? Why does it matter? Bob, thank you. Did you hear what he said? My salvation, mine too. What else? Why does that matter? Why does it matter? Reverend I, Dan Brown says he was just a regular guy, ordinary guy. We say, as we look at the scripture, that he was God. Why does that matter?
Because every person could claim that I am the one.
Yeah, that's good. That's nice, Bev. I didn't hear that, but each one of us could claim that we're the one. Steve, what do you say?
Well, I think it answers the false accusations that Satan has assailed against God's government, that push come to shove, he would not give up himself. Uh-huh. If Jesus is literally the Son of the living God, then God gave up himself.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Somebody said that in the first service, too. Believe it or not. So that resonates. What else? How many of us need saving?
There's no other name under heaven.
No other name. That's the scripture we read. No other name. Everybody in here needs saving. Now, Gary, you're a nice guy. But you can't save me. I'm beyond your abilities to help. Right? He's a great guy, but he can't help me. Some of the stuff that I got in my past, you can't help. I need Jesus. Am I right? I need God. I need a sinless God to forgive me. Hope in glory. You know, I look forward to one day being reunited with my mother and father. Who is the resurrection and the life? Jesus. You see, the only hope we have to see our loved ones again is in Jesus. That's why I'm not telling you to read Da Vinci Code, but it's just fiction. I'm talking about something that's real. That really matters. And let me give you a gem, two gems before I close. This one I found and I shouted to myself. Mark chapter 6 and 45 through 52. You can look it up. You know the story. Is Jesus walking on water? How many have heard that story? I think most of us have heard that story. Jesus walking on water. Let me read something to you and then give you an idea of why I was so excited about what I found. Mark 6. Let me find it real quick. I'll start at verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them, and now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, walking on water, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do you know what it literally says in the Greek? It doesn't say, it is I. It says, fear not. Help me. Fear not. I am. Did you hear what I said? That's what it says in the Greek. Fear not. I am. You know where they got that expression? You go to John 8:58. When Jesus, you know, they were dialoguing with Jesus about, they said, well, how do you know about Abraham? You're not even 50 years old yet. You mean you've seen my father Abraham? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They picked up stones to stone him because he was saying that I am. Because they knew the story in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, the story of Moses, when Moses was talking to God, and God, Moses said, well, who should I tell? The people that I'm coming in, and God said, tell them I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. Jesus, in the story of walking on water, says, fear not, I am. Oh, help me, Jesus. Isn't that a passage? Oh, you ought to get excited about that. You know why we show up here every week? It's not because it's just a Sabbath. We show up here to meet with God. Amen. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? God has a place for us to meet with Him. He says, I want you to do it every week. Don't miss a week. How are you going to make it if you miss a week with God? Amen? You miss a week with worshiping Him, serving Him. Let me show you, read something someone has written, if there was no God. And I'd like to read that as we conclude. If I can find it up here among my notes. Think for a moment, what if God was not here? You think people can be cruel now? Imagine us without the presence of God. You think that we are brutal to each other now? Imagine the world without the Holy Spirit. You think there is loneliness and despair and guilt now? Imagine life without the touch of Jesus. No forgiveness, no hope. No act of kindness, no words of love, no food given in His name, no more songs sung to His praise, no more deeds done in His honor. God would take away, there'd be no angels, no grace, no promise of eternity. But I'm glad that there's God. Amen. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You are God. We know, Lord, in these last days, there'll be many things that will come to try and make us think otherwise. And we recognize, Lord, that doubt will never be erased. But, Lord, we have come to trust You. We have come to love You because You first loved us. Lord, we thank You that You understand us because You became one of us. And You understand and You know all about us because You are God. Lord, we embrace You again. And we renew our covenant with You again. In Jesus' name, amen.